Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:08 p.m. That is in Dubai time. I'm not exactly sure what the correct nomenclature is for it, but it's on Tuesday, February 27th. Well, Jerome Powell has had his statement taken by the market, and the Fed seems to be committed to its policy of running down the balance sheet and raising interest rates this year. The big debate is still about just how many times they're willing to raise interest rates. But I don't think that this is anything of a surprise, because when we look at the state of this of the Fed's balance sheet and the quantity of bonds that is maturing this year, then the policy that they've so far taken is that they're going to run off about half of the bonds that need to be mature or need to be refinanced this year, and they're going to refinance the rest. And if they were to not to follow that path, well, then it would represent a higher cost of borrowing for the Treasury. And they feel that they have to at least make some inroads into the size of the balance sheet, and this is as good a time as any to start, considering that we have strong economic growth and low unemployment. So that has put a bid under the dollar. At the same time, you had Draghi today saying that the EU is still in need of additional stimulus, so they are committed to their quantitative easing program until at least September, and who knows after that. You have the Italian election coming up in the next few weeks, and I'll pull up the BTP chart in a moment. But I think that the yen is perhaps rather interesting at these levels, because the pound, excuse me, the dollar is rallying against it at the present moment, and we can see very clearly on the weekly chart that there is a somewhat short-term oversold condition relative to the trend mean. And that at least near-term support has been found for the dollar around that 106 level. Well, so far this is a reasonably similar-sized rally compared to that which we saw at the end of January, and it's going to have to push above 108 to begin to really confirm that this is more than anything other than some short covering by people that were short the dollar. We can also see that that 108 level had previously been an area of support, and in order to demonstrate that it's not now an area of resistance, we're going to have to see the dollar rally above it. But then when we look at the Nikkei, it's taking its tune more from what's going on in Wall Street at present than any other factor. And when we think about it in those terms, the Nikkei was up about 200 points earlier on. Well, when the market closed today, but it's down about 100 points in the future right now. But the more important point is that the Nikkei has found support in the region of the trend mean, and it continues to bounce. And I think that we're probably in for a little bit of to and fro here. I don't think it's going to go straight back up, but that the most likely scenario is for additional ranging in the region with I guess a higher to lateral bias from the region of the trend mean. The Topix Banks Index was up a tad in here today, but it needs to do better than that to really help to confirm my hunch that that this represents an area of more than short-term support. I continue to think that the banks are likely to be the sector that does best in an inflationary environment. But when we see the dollar strengthening, then that does tend to put pressure on Wall Street. So the Dow Jones is down about 0.25%, and the S&P is down about 0.5%, and the majority of markets in Europe were down, but not very much. You can see the FTSE down 0.1%. And if the dollar continues to rally, well, that might weigh on the ability of the S&P or the Dow to continue to advance from these levels. Well, I think of all of those Wall Street indices, it's the Nasdaq is the one that really stands out, because it's right in the region of its previous peak. And that 7,000 level is a big psychological level, and it has retraced all the entire decline. Well, somebody's got to be asking, well, who wants to be the first person to pay 7,050 for the Nasdaq 100? And I suspect that we're due some pause in consolidation, and not least because we've had such an impressive rebound, and some of the complacency in the market has returned. So I think that that would probably be the most likely scenario is that we do get some backing and filling going on in over the course of the next week or two. But the strength of the dollar also had a negative effect on the commodities, and oil was down about 60 cents. And when we look at that Brent crude price, then it has been marching higher over the course of the last couple of weeks, and that helped to confirm at least near-term support in that $60 area. But that $60 area is going to have to continue to hold in order to really confirm that we're still in a demand-dominated environment. When we look at this on the weekly chart, we can see that the $60 area coincides with the region of the trend mean, and that that also is a pretty good example of past resistance becoming future support. So, therefore, we can think of this as potentially a near-term support and potentially even a medium-term support level, but that $60 area would definitely have to hold. And if the dollar continues to strengthen, then we will see, I think, probably quite likely a retest of that level. Then gold has been ranging below the $1,400 area for 5 years, and it was down by 19 in here today. So it's now coming back towards the lower side of this consolidation over the course of the last 6 weeks. And it's going to have to rally in a similar manner to which it did in the middle of February to really begin to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. As long as it is holding that $50 range, then I don't think anyone's going to be particularly worried about it. But it will have to break above the at least the $1,375 area to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. But it was a negative day for the industrial metals as well, and copper was down approximately 5 cents. When we look at that on the daily chart, when that takes its time coming up, then we can see that there has been a mild upward bias to trading over the course of the last 6 months, but the progression of higher reaction lows remains intact, and that $3 area continues to represent an important potential area of support, both from a short and potentially even a medium-term view, because it now coincides with the region of the trend mean. Then, something that has been at the back of my mind, and I'm going to reproduce this article that a subscriber sent to me about a week ago, and I've been mulling it over. And I've been asking this question of every Indian person I've been meeting, because I think perhaps the luster is beginning to come off of Narendra Modi's administration in India. And he may receive a rap on the knuckles from the electorate when the next election comes around, because he got an unprecedented single party government when he won the last election. And he has made some economic reforms that were vitally necessary, not least introducing a GST. And then he has been lucky that a number of the reforms that were introduced by the last government came to fruition during his administration, not least the digitization drive that has been underway. But there's also been a rise of Hindu nationalism, and that has that was something that a number of people, when I was coming over to Dubai on the plane, I was chatting with three Indian people from the north, the middle, and the south of India, and I posed the same question to all of them, and none of them was willing to stand up and defend Modi. And I think that that is worthy of consideration, that we had a really impressive advance in the Nifty all the way up to that peak in January, and now it has pulled back to the region of the trend mean. And as long as it continues to hold that progression of higher reaction lows and continues to find support in the region of the trend mean, then I think we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. But it is something to bear in mind that Modi does not or no longer has universal support back home. And that is the kind of thing that could potentially slow up the pace of reforms. And the pace of reforms has already been pretty slow. So that is, I think, something that we have to at least bear in mind. And also, of course, the fact that India is a volatile market. And it has been particularly inert over the course of the last 18 months, not least because it's been rallying, and rallying in a very steady manner. But that needn't always be the case. So I think that that is something that we should bear in mind, and also to keep an eye on the rupee, because the rupee strengthening was the green light for a lot of international investors, that they were able to get the currency market appreciation, the yield, and the stocks all moving in their favor. But the dollar is now rallying, and it's coming back now to test its progression of lower rally highs. So in order for the rupee to really confirm that it's still in a demand-dominated environment, it's going to have to start to rally from around that 65.5 to 66 rupee level. So I think that is also something to keep or to bear in mind. Then, when we look at what's going on in China, well, I personally believe that this move for single person government, or which one could say that she is going to become, or is looking to become, an emperor or a dictator. Well, is he going to be a benevolent dictator like Lee Kuan Yew, or is he going to be the kind of dictator like Mao, or indeed Stalin? Well, these are very large questions. And when we look at the stock market, it has unwound much of its oversold condition following the big decline ahead of the lunar holiday, and then it has then pushed back up to test the 3,500 area. That's recouped about a half of the decline, but now it needs to confirm that it can continue to find support in that 3,200 point area. I personally think that regardless of which way Xi decides he's going to administer the country, the risk premium has gone up. At least when you have a number of people competing for power, that at least diversifies your single person risk. If you concentrate power in a single person, then it amplifies the risk. And the banking sector was in negative territory in here today, is down 300 points. It pulled back very sharply ahead of the Lunar New Year. So now the question is it going to continue to find support around this 15,000 point level? That's an awfully big question. And I think that this is a particularly important time to keep an eye on China, because this is a breaking situation, whereas India is not going to have a major election probably until 2019. And of course, when we promised that I would put up the Italian government bond chart, and here it is. Well, obviously they have an election in just a couple of weeks. In fact, it's on the 4th of March, so about 1 week from today. And I personally think that it's rather fishy that the 10-year government bond yield has gone nowhere at all. And when the ECB says that the European economy continues to need stimulus, well, we can see that they're buying quite a lot of Italian bonds. We don't exactly know which way the Italian electorate are going to go, but it's almost certainly not going to result in a single party government. And the most likely scenario is that it's going to be populist in nature, but it'll be a populist coalition. And that doesn't mean that that government is going to have any more success in pushing through reform than the last one. So this sclerotic environment that has been going on in Italy for as long as anyone is willing to remember is unlikely to change anytime soon. The much bigger potential outcome is when the ECB eventually decides to unwind its stimulus program. Well, it's going to be the countries that benefited most from it, namely Italy and Germany, that are most likely to feel the consequences. And it is interesting that the fact that German bund yields have been rising. Well, they've been pulling back for the last couple of weeks, and we're starting to see the first signs of steadying right now. But bunds have been reacting in a predictable, or what if one were to predict how markets should react when the ECB is talking about buying less of them, then you'd expect yields to rise. Well, that would be the normal circumstance. That's exactly what's happening, but that's not happening with the Italian bonds, and that suggests that the ECB is buying plenty of them. Then, when we look at what's going on in the UK, somebody is going to have to bend. And this is an argument that has got a lot of moving parts, but most particularly, it's an argument that is in large part based on principle, and that is weighing on the stock market. And so far, the FTSE has rallied; it has bounced, but not when we think about how well the Nasdaq, for example, has bounced. The FTSE has not bounced in anywhere near as impressive a manner, and I think that's equally true of the vast majority of the European indices. There are a significant number of unknowns regarding everything that we can, with regard to the with Brexit, with the various elections that are going on, the rise of populism. All of these things are, I think, very poignant from a European perspective, and there is a reason why Europe hasn't been performing well. When we think about who's going to bend, well, is it going to be those that are the 20% of Conservative MPs that signed that letter last week to Theresa May, setting out what they demand, or is it going to be the DUP that bends when they decide what they think is best for Northern Ireland? Is it going to be the Irish government that bends when it comes to their demand that there not be a border? Or is it going to be the pro-European movement that bends? So somebody is definitely not going to get what they want, and they are running the very clear risk of having a group of disaffected voters. Well, this is the big unknown, and I think that that is putting pressure on UK assets, and not least because Jeremy Corbyn is trying to. Well, is at least attempting to look more prime minister-like, and trying to put together a group of policies that could potentially get him elected. There is the real possibility that the UK will crash out without a without having any kind of substantial agreement, and I think and because that's a real risk, and people are beginning to consider that that is potentially very damaging for the economy, then the fact that people are willing to give it countenance probably means it's not going to happen. And that's what the pound is telling us against the euro. And what that suggests to me is that if I had to make a guess, that it's probably going to be that 20% of Conservative MPs that are probably not going to get what they want. And whether that is going to bring down the government is perhaps open. Is perhaps the biggest question right now. Are they willing to bring down the government and usher in a Corbyn administration? That I think that's probably going to be the decision that they make, and they're probably not willing to do that. And I think that's probably why the pound is rallying. Well, then when we look at the Australian market, because it had bounced pretty impressively from the region of the trend mean. And of course, it's a commodity producing market, and it is now back above the 6,000 point level. And that 6,000 point area has been an area of resistance for much of the last 3 years, and this looks like a consolidation in the region of that lengthy range. When we look at it on the longer term, Australia has the potential to do better from here, that it has spent enough of time that the 7,000 point area is unlikely to offer very much resistance in the potential outcome that commodities do better from here. And what I've been paying particular attention to is the soft commodities, because they do look like base formations, and increasingly they are doing better. And the fact that they are in positive territory in here today in an environment where the commodity complex was in negative territory, suggests that people are buying the grains and beans. And if we start to get food inflation, well, then that's something that is going to knock up inflationary figures everywhere. And I think that this is an important consideration, because one of the reasons why the continuous commodity index has not been able to break out is because it has been held back by the underperformance of the agricultural sector. But this, to me, looks like a first step above the type 2 bottom, and or a type 2 bottom with right-hand extension characteristics. And I think the most likely scenario is that it is going to be pushing upwards from here. And it's no mistake that with Powell continuing on the prescribed path for the Fed, that US 10-year treasuries are up now to 2.9%, and it's looking increasingly likely that they will be pushing through that 3% level at some point over the next few days potentially, but almost certainly over the next few weeks and months. So that would suggest that inflation is coming back onto the global picture, and that people have been worrying about it without actually having a lot of evidence for it, but we're probably going to start getting the evidence for it at some point this year, and that is going to result in some re-rating, which feeds through to my hypothesis that the most likely scenario for stock markets is that we are going to have ranging, and a rotation is already underway. And I think with that, I will leave it for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.